Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. And welcome back, dear listener. This is episode 3 of season 3 of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime Podcast with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs. So, episode 3, season 3. 3-3-33. I don't know. I like it. Sounds good. You almost rapped to it. 3-3-33. Yo, yo, this is me. Anyway. Anyway, hope I gave you a chuckle. Anyway, the point is, welcome to a new episode. We're going to continue with what we've been doing. Last episode was actually considered, even though it was the second episode, we could almost consider it the first episode in the context of that is how the show is going to go. We had the introduction, then we had the story before the story, an actual segment of story before the story, I mean, and then, of course, the story itself. So we're actually doing the show, which is awesome, and we're in season 3, which is so exciting because we're at the early episodes and we're trying something new and we're in a new format. And I, you know, and that's the thing too, right? Like with certain podcasts, like, you know, it's the same format year over year. I'm glad that with this one you guys are letting me do like a slightly different format every season, but of course still incorporating the element of story time because that's the whole point of the podcast. So thanks for that, appreciated. And let's get right into it. I mean, let's talk right into story before the story, because there's actually quite a lot to say on the topic at hand. And just what that is, well, hang in there and find out. Welcome to Story Before the Story. So, again, staying on topic, because we're going to do this topically to stay organized. Let's just talk about mediums of storytelling, right? So let's go over some. We got your basics, right? We got books, you got comics, you got movies. But what about poetry? Have you ever read anything by Yeats, for example, or even Lovecraft? Poems, they have stories. Listen to some CDs, some music from bands, right? Some bands, they're telling stories throughout entire CDs. Some CDs are meant that each song is like a chapter in a story, right? But it's all done, of course, you know, musically. You know, there's stuff that just basic stuff, like sitting around the table with your buddies and just doing an oral story, like just telling them what happened that day, or making some nonsense up just to get a laugh, you know. So there's obviously different mediums for telling stories. And there's always been a huge debate is like, you know, what medium might be best for telling a story? Well, the truth is they all are best, right? It's more an issue of the creator using a medium that's best for them. Because if a story in and of itself, like I had mentioned, is a living, breathing thing, right? It's there in the back of your mind, always percolating and circulating and moving and thinking and whatnot. And eventually comes to the fore of your mind and you think about it and maybe you get a scene in your head or whatever it might be, you know, whether you're creating or not, you know, it could just simply be a daydream. The point is, a story is a living, breathing thing. And so then as a creator, the goal is you got to pick what medium is best to convey this story. And I mean, this goes back to the whole old school, you know, book versus movie debate, right? Which is better, the book or the movie, right? 9 times out of 10, it's the book, right? And the reason is, of course, just simply because movies they don't have the time allowance to get everything in there, you know, unless you're doing like an epic series like the Harry Potter thing or Lord of the Rings or whatever else. But yeah, the idea is you pick the best medium, because if you pick the best medium and if you play to your strengths, then you're going to do two services for the receiver of the story. The two services are this. One, of course, you're going to give them the story, okay? But what's going to dictate how well you give them that story is if that method, if that is your passion, if that is your drive, if that is your thing, if that's your groove, that's your jam, that energy, that love is going to come through the story. The story is going to be presented with that passion and love and oomph behind it, versus a story that doesn't have that part is absent. And you can always tell when something's been phoned in, right? And it's lacking heart. So if a story is a living, breathing thing, that's the heartbeat of the medium that you're going to convey that story. So you as a creator, or you as an artist, or you as a craftsman of some kind, need to think about, where is my passion for this story? What medium does this work best in? Like, example being my Frederickus comics, right? The comics medium is the best medium for that particular story. An anthropomorphic dog, right? Middle-aged and dealing with life humorously. And the best way to convey that would not be writing a book about it, but instead doing it in a comic strip. And therefore, it comes through. And therefore, you know, people have told me then the strips are relatable and people like it because it's done that way instead of just giving them a block of text. But on the other hand, you know, like the Axie Man stuff or the zombie stuff, I mean, it's best conveyed, you know, through the book medium. Right. And the passion and the drive comes through with that. So what I'm saying is just simply, there are so many different methods of storytelling. And if the artist has put their heart and passion for that story through that medium, you're going to get yourself a good book. You're going to get yourself a good graphic novel. You're going to get a good CD. You're going to get a good movie. And all that's going to come through. And that's the beauty of stories. Right, stories are like water. Let's use the Bruce Lee interview thing that he did, right, when he talks about adapting and being like water. Water goes in the cup, it becomes the cup, right? Goes in the teapot, it becomes the teapot. And it's the same with the story. The story goes in the book, it becomes the book. If it goes in a movie, it becomes the movie. If it goes into a CD, it becomes a CD, you know? And it's very adaptable that way. But again, it's up to the artist and or creator to ensure that the love and passion is there so that the reader or viewer or listener gets the full experience, that they could taste the story, the living, breathing story for real, and actually they almost literally taste it, but tangibly, you know, because it is coming through with that much gusto. And if we let stories have free rein that way, if we let the story tell itself, the story will tell you what medium is best for it. Some writers, for example, like I know many, don't write certain books because they know full well that that idea is best done as a movie, right? So maybe they'll write a screenplay just to get out of their system or something. But the point is that they recognize that, you know, this, I'm not going to make a book into this because that particular story is best told through a movie, you know? And so they actually did people a service by not creating it, because then they would have phoned it in. They would have not have the same drive or the same flow coming through, say, the book, as opposed to if they had the means to make the movie. So the point is this: stories are real and they move and breathe within us. And the responsibility of any creator, not just myself, but any creator, in the interest of honoring the reader, the listener, the viewer, is finding the medium that works best. And if you do that, you're going to have something special. And if you have something special, you're going to make an impact. And if you make an impact, you're going to change a life. And if you change a life, you're going to change other lives because of the butterfly effect. And if all those lives get changed at once, then the giant butterfly effect means you might even change the world. So think about that for a little while. In the meantime, let's get to story time. Dave's Bar. There was something about Dave's Bar that Ignatius found charming. It wasn't the company. He'd known enough brawlers and guys down on their luck over the years. It wasn't the girls in high-cut skirts with a bit of cleavage showing that did it for him either. Not that he didn't appreciate it, but as part of the Order of Friars Minor, his eyes weren't supposed to deviate to that stuff anyway. It wasn't even the mug of beer he was drinking. The secret tavern room at the Order had enough of that. It was the otherworldliness of Dave's that got to him. It was a place removed from all he knew, a place to just sit by himself and mull over the week, sometimes the years. Sure, he got looks and the odd comment sent his way. It wasn't every day you saw a priest in a bar. Even some said, what with his brown robe and all, he looked like a Jedi. But that's as far as it went. Even the worst and bottom level of humanity still had the fear of God running through them, and to mess with a holy man was like mucking with God himself. A fight broke out behind him. He glanced over his shoulder, but as a pacifist, didn't get involved and just took another swig of beer. When he was done his drink, he let out a small burp and scanned the bar for Dave. Dave seldom worked the bar himself. Instead, he preferred the sanctity of the back room and liked to run things from there. Particularly, Dave and Ignatius had a special arrangement. Ignatius could come in for a beer as long as he didn't cause any trouble, and he knew the kind of trouble Dave was referring to and had nothing to do with preaching. "Thank you," Ignatius said to Dolores, who worked behind the bar. She nodded in his direction, then turned her attention to another customer. She then glanced his way again and nodded toward the back room. Ignatius grinned his understanding, then got up from his stool and sidestepped the fight. That poor soul. He should have dodged to the left, then delivered a right punch straight to the other guy's mouth. Ignatius went to the back room and knocked three times, paused, then knocked twice. The door opened. Ignatius went in. Dave was alone and in the room's corner shadows, despite the 8-foot square fireplace going strong in the middle. "Enjoy yourself?" Dave asked. "Yes, thank you. Bless you," Ignatius replied. Ignatius stood before the fire. "We'll see you again," Dave said. It wasn't a question. Ignatius simply nodded, and when the flame turned green and swirled with black smoke, he stepped into the fire. It washed its green glow around him, and he emerged in the back room of his order. 1249 A.D. Alright, thanks for sticking around to after the credits. So for this part, I'm going to give a little life tip. I put this on social media, but I haven't put it through the podcast, so I want to do it that way. And I think it's a really good one, and it's one that's benefited me. It's one I've seen benefit others, and I want to share it with you. And it's very simple. It's a very basic thing, and it's simply this. What can present you do to make life easier for future you? So as you go about your day-to-day and you're doing different things or items come up or this or that, if you have an opportunity where you see that, you know what, if I do this thing now, it's going to help me later, go and do it because future you will thank you. And this could apply to just little small tasks like, you know, moving your shoes out of the way so you don't trip over them later, or something, you know, more complicated like planning for the future, retirement and stuff. What can current you do to help your future self, and that when it's, once your future self gets to that point of age? So that's what I'm saying, is just that's a little life trick, is just if there's anything that you can do now to help yourself in the future, go for it, get it done, because a lot of people aren't. So if you want to, you know, get a few steps ahead, if you want to have a better chance at different things in the future, help yourself out now. Now, this is, of course, not to be misinterpreted as living in the future or living in the one day. It's not what I mean. All I'm saying is just as you're going through your day to day, if there's something you could do for yourself now that will benefit you in the future and you have a moment to do it, do it. It's a good thing. All right. So anyway, that's my little tip. Thanks again for sticking around, and be sure to subscribe. If you would like this episode, make some comments, do some likes, and we will see you next episode. Peace out.